connected to your spirit. And until then, we'll see you Wednesday. Goodbye, everybody.
Jan Sircone.
Here we are at Live from Ordinary Miracles in
BBSRadio.com.
Beautiful downtown Cotati, California. When I say that, I always laugh because I just picture people in India and Peru saying, "Where the hell is Cotati?"
Well, you know, years ago when I was in the music business in L.A., I would read the there was a Performance magazine just to look at, you know, all these touring acts. And because I want to see how well do they draw in other parts of the world. Are they really expanding and exciting someplace so I can be ahead of the wave and catch them here? Are they crashing and diving and I want to get out of the way of that wave, is it, et cetera? And I always come across this place called the Inn of the Beginning. So what a cool name, and where the heck is Cotati?
And you ended up across the street from
me. I'm like a quarter of a block away from the original Inn of the Beginning.
Yeah.
It's so surreal.
I remember when I was in college, the nursing students would all pile in the car and go up for a hot time at the Inn of the Beginning. Well, we're here in Sonoma County, California, and our focus on this show is sound healing. And I believe that a lot of the activity in sound healing in alternative energy medicines is happening right here, right in the Bay Area. And that's why Matt and I do this program every Wednesday at 9 p.m. to talk about sound healing. Specifically, I'm Jan Sircone, and I live here in Sonoma County. I work with sound. I teach at the Psychoacoustics Institute, voice from a psychoacoustic perspective. And I found a modality that actually shows that the voice is a diagnostic tool and a healing modality, that our entire body is frequencies. And we can plot that, and you can look at all the organs, all the frequencies in your body, and simply sing to rebalance yourself.
And I do a somewhat related form of emotional healing. And as Jan said, in the frequencies that are present and in the frequencies that are missing in your voice, there's a lot of information that is just starting to be understood and worked with. So what I do is called voice mapping, and you talk to a microphone for about 30 seconds, and a voice map comes up, and it shows where there's intense emotion attached to historical stress and trauma. And then in a biofeedback process, those frequencies from your voice are fed back to you in a way that stimulates that place where that trauma is buried, so it gets surfaced and processed and released. And that's a 10-second version of my 90-second elevator speech.
Well, it certainly works. So what we're finding is that if our bodies are a combination of frequencies, and I believe we have different channels, it's our emotional, I call them emotional constructs, that get very dense and start clogging things up. And you're like a Roto-Rooter, like a Drano. And my sister did your voice mapping the other day, and also my partner. And it bubbled up for them their deep childhood matrices of emotional reactions, which then are able to be healed once they're brought up, like peeling the onion. I have a present for you tonight, Matt. Okay. I actually brought a list of the actual hurts of some of these emotions.
Uh-huh.
Are you excited about this? This is your work.
Yeah.
Here we go. Maybe in our audience, people will run out and make some tuning forks to these particular resonances, which are hertz, and that cycles per second, right? The cycles per second, I believe.
I failed physics.
Well, I wouldn't want this tuning fork. Actually, if you were to sound this and put it on your system, it would create resistance. That's what we're all trying to get rid of.
Which frequency is that?
A resistance, 1,456. Now, these seem pretty fast, but in general, they're octavized. So it's the same frequency. It's like the same note, you know, put into a different octave. Inhibition is 1,389. These were developed by Dr. Mohsen Hirmanish and Randy Masters, who is a numerological wizard about the correlation of frequencies to everything in the universe. Hesitation would be 1,614. And that actually, tonight we're going to be talking a lot about that. Our guest tonight is a very special woman who is, I believe, a courageous, fearless woman who has worked through so many ways of expressing her music in the world. And I believe that she has been able to work through a lot of these emotional configurations. Actually, I have a poem to read tonight called She Let Go before we introduce Claire.
Before you get there, because I'd like to get some clarity, no pun intended.
Uh-huh. Clarity. Hi, Claire.
So I'm looking at your list here. Like, for example, you say reluctance is, you know, 1457, inhibition is 1389. What does somebody do with that information? Do they find a tuning fork that resonates at that particular hertz frequency, and that'll help counteract?
No, actually, these are points of information. Kay Louise Thompson, who develops the voice bio, she has hundreds and hundreds of numerical correlations to just about every mineral, every medication, every hormone in our body. These are just emotions. And, for instance, this would induce that particular state in your body. So I'm just so far the negative, and we do not want to hold those on our body. The seven positive processes to clear vortexes of negative emotions, conductance is 1,807.
Now, somebody recently chewed me out about using too much jargon. What is conductance?
I would say that's a person who... I didn't create this list. A person who allows things to be conducted. In other words, let it flow.
It'll be a conduit.
Conductors on the train.
Okay.
A conduit. That word is allowance, I would say, to conduct.
Okay.
Allow it to flow. Facilitation, 1,260. Persuasion. Now, you might want to use this on your partner sometime. 1,281. You just whip that little tuning fork out and, you know, put it in
their
aura. Yeah. And utilization. Get things moving and formed and, you know, get 1,398. So these are hertzes of emotions that actually you can get things flowing and moving as opposed to the first seven. So.
Okay, if I can introduce another window into using frequencies like that. We had Teresa... Treya Palmer on. Was that last week?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who's a naturopath, and she works with biofeedback stress assessment, which is a piece of equipment that, you know, you hold a rod to one hand, and the other hand she touches meridian points, and a very gentle signal goes through your meridians, and it's affected by frequencies that are connected to challenges in your body. So there's a particular frequency for a measles virus, which is different than a frequency, say, for a cold virus. And if you have an overtaxed adrenal system or an underperforming thyroid, those all show up with different specific frequencies. So it's another way that frequencies are relevant and very helpful in our world of healing and sound and frequencies here.
Absolutely. Well, I think we're to the joke section of the evening.
Oh.
Matt, that's your category.
Okay, well, if anybody, let's see, the one I'm remembering is a very short poem by Shel Silverstein, and it's clean, actually, considering Shel's long history with Playboy magazine. it's an anteater, the pet man told my dad. But really, it was an anteater, and my uncle is really mad.
I think you told that last week.
I did?
Yeah.
You said you hadn't heard it.
Well, you just said the title, and I forgot.
Okay.
I'm going to have to give you a memory tuning fork.
Okay. What frequency is that?
Well,
let's
move on to the best thing and the worst thing that happened today. The more I'm learning about nature species, I've been looking in on Bernie Krause's work, and he does nature soundscapes and studies how healing all the sounds are, and that different birds sing for different times of the day, and they awake the different layer of animals that sing. And I'm finding that as I am learning to still my mind, that I'm actually communicating more and more and drawing more of these beautiful creatures into my life. And I have a little mockingbird who comes and actually taps on the window. She taps on the window, and then one day she started waking me up in the morning, tapping on my bedroom window, that little window above my bed. And today she came to my front door, and I said, "What is it?" She said, "You need to get out and take a walk." So that's the good news. It's just, it's like I have a little birdie friend there. And, I'm really trying to, you know, get my frequencies aligned, because I know you can communicate with animals, and that's new to me. And I'm getting a sense that she is talking to me. Actually, the day that I was robbed, I was in my bedroom listening to a fountain and relaxing. She came to the window above my bed, and it wasn't the usual tap, 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 tap. It was tap, 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 tap. And I said, "What are you trying? Are you trying to tell me something?" And someone was in my house stealing my computer. So more on that next week. We'll have more bird stories, and it's very, very sweet. Did you have a story of the worst and the best today?
Well, first let me ask you. Actually, this is a perfect time to invite our guests who are listening, our radio audience out there, to call in. We can actually take one. The station has capacity for one phone call at a time. So if you call and get a busy signal, then it means somebody else is on that line. And I think the phone number is toll-free, 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. And the reason I'm bringing that up is I want to ask you, Jan, Does the radio audience want to hear the worst thing that happened to us?
Well, it might make them feel better.
Oh, yeah?
Because I know that everybody has the worst thing in the day. That's a parameter. And, you know, then we're human. Yeah, it's, you know, misery loves company sort of thing.
It's a thing that, When we're on the highway, we stop and slow down in an accident.
Well, it's kind of a human nature, I think. You know, what was the lowest frequency thing today and what was the happiest frequency thing today?
Okay, so my question is, if anybody has an opinion, call in and let us know. Are you interested in what was the best thing and the worst thing that happened to us today?
I'll be honest with you, I never say the absolute worst thing.
I had a feeling.
We do protect our field that way, right? Well, I did bring something tonight. I wanted this program not just to be talking, but actually I brought a sound empowerment tonight before we bring our fabulous guest on, Claire Victor.
You want my best and worst thing?
Please. Yes, go right ahead.
Well, actually, I'm happy to say this because actually they were combined in pretty much the same moment.
Mm-hmm. That's usually it, the two sides to it all.
I discovered a wonderful new chiropractor today. Her name is Venus Maher, M-A-H-E-R. And she's in Cotati across from Oliver's Market. And I really liked the way she worked. So the worst thing was that there was a little bit of pain involved.
Was that sort of a crunchy?
Well, it was sort of correcting the twisting I did to my knee. After not riding a bike for a year, I rode for a solid week at Burning Man.
Mm-hmm.
And started limping halfway through. So combination of treatment and healing, and it was nice discovering another healer in town who's got a very friendly and warm and loving style of doing her work. So there's my best and worst in the same breath.
Best and worst, all in one.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, what I brought tonight is a sound empowerment. Many of us who are on our healing path know that the pituitary and the pineal glands are actually activated with the higher frequencies that we bring in. And the pineal gland in particular brings in light. Over time, it has become somewhat atrophied in man. So the two tuning forks and sounds that I'm going to have our friends tone along with us will activate and synchronize our pineal and our pituitary gland. We'll start with the pituitary gland. This actually relates to the moon energy, which is so beautiful this time of year. This is a G sharp or A flat, depending on which scale is used. So this is the moon, and I will hum it and play the tone for you, and we will hum this along together. This moon sound will activate our pituitary gland, which is right near our third eye. When we do this sound, we will have a feeling of gratitude. Okay, Matt.
Claire?
Yes.
Come on in, Claire.
Oh, me.
With the moon. Here we go. Pituitary gland.
I'm having a hard time hearing it on this end.
Aha.
It's good to know that.
So we will now do the pineal gland, which is on top of the head, and this is the solar or the sun energy, and this is the low C. Again, the pineal gland on the top of the head, and this is the low C. That should activate our pineal gland. Now I'll play both together and we will just listen. And this actually will synchronize and ignite the endocrine neurological processes related to these two. All right, where can I
get? What you might do is have the, after you hit them, set them on the wood so the wood can resonate.
That's a good idea.
Were you able to hear that, Claire?
Yeah.
Just breathe into that sound. The sun and the moon energy coming in to activate and create an integrated flow between your pineal and your pituitary. And from what I understand, getting those lined up is one of the very first steps to actually receiving the higher frequencies and transmissions from the cosmos, speaking to non-bodied entities. So there you go. I wonder what our visitors are doing tonight. Well, Claire, before we actually do the introduction for you, I brought a poem that I think will lead right into introducing your beauteousness. Okay. It's called She Let Go. This is by Reverend Sapphire Rose, Agape International Spiritual Center. And Matt, I think we should go back and forth. I'd like some masculine energy on this. I'll read the first paragraph.
Okay.
Go back and forth. She let go. Without a thought or a word, she let go. She let go of the fear. She let go of the judgments. She let go of the confluence of opinions swarming around her head. She let go of the committee of indecision within her. She let go of all of the right reasons. Wholly and completely, without hesitation or worry, she just let go.
She didn't ask anyone for advice. She didn't read a book on how to let go. She didn't search the scriptures. She just let go. She let go of all the memories that held her back. She let go of all the anxiety that kept her from moving forward. She let go of the planning and all of the calculations about how to do it just right.
She didn't promise to let go. She didn't journal it. She didn't write the projected date in her day timer. She made no public announcement and put no ad in the paper. She didn't check the weather report or read her daily horoscope. She just let go.
She didn't analyze whether she should let go. She didn't call her friends to discuss the matter. She didn't utter one word. She just let go.
No one was around when it happened. There was no applause or congratulations. No one thanked her or praised her. No one noticed a thing. Like a leaf falling from a tree, she just let go. There was no effort. There was no struggle. It wasn't good. It wasn't bad. It was what it was, and it is just that.
In the space of letting go, she let it all be. A small smile came over her face. A light breeze blew through her hair. And the sun and the moon shone forevermore.
Well, this perfectly describes a woman who I've had the joy of knowing with in and out of artistic pursuits for perhaps 15 or 20 years, and I've watched her morph into a mature, grounded leader in many ways. She's a songwriter, a producer. Her roots are in actually rock singing. She sang in the mix. She's been a chanteuse of cabaret. She sings in a group, Heaven and Earth. She's a fabulous jazz singer. She's a recording artist of many genres. She's a choir leader here for our Center for Spiritual Living and Global Heart. And you can correct me on that, Claire. But what I see about Claire is that she has used the path of her passion in music to always discover and to continue to uncover and to let go who she truly is. And that way, she's been a mentor and inspiration for so many women in her position. So, Claire, we will bring you in. And at some point, we're going to take a little break and actually play the song that you sent in today. So when you'd like to, you introduce it, and we'll have Seth play that. But welcome, Claire.
Thanks, Jan.
Hi. Can you hear everything okay?
I can hear everything okay, yes. Thank
great,
you.
Great, 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 great. Well, we're going to start questions unless you'd like to give a little introduction yourself.
Well, I just wanted to say I was laughing because of the way that things line up in the universe, and there were three lineups so far. The in the beginning that Matt mentioned earlier was actually where this I was in this band, The Mix, years and years ago. That was the hoop-de-doo in Cotati, and we first formed in the Inn of the Beginning. That was where we first all met and said, hey, let's put a band together. And so I was laughing at that. And then when you were telling the mockingbird stories, I studied with a mockingbird, and they taught me how to sing and do bird whistles, literally, and whatnot. And then
Claire,
the third one...
you have to share those.
Oh, I will.
That's good. Very good.
And the third one was Venus. The chiropractor that Matt just met is a very dear friend of mine,
oh,
and
wow.
Also a singer-songwriter. Who and I helped her on her CD that she produced, a couple of years ago.
Oh, I didn't know she had a CD.
Uh-huh. She's a singer-songwriter.
Oh,
so
my
she's a brilliant woman too. So yes,
she'll be on the show sometime.
Wait, what's that?
She'll be on the show.
Oh yeah, she's great. She is really a talented, creative doctor. So. I just was laughing. I liked that, the synchronicity of life.
Yeah, it's so true. We're all in the same frequency band, you might say.
Mm-hmm. Or not.
Well, Claire, okay, we'll just start with this question then. When did you know in your life that you were to be a singer and that, art was your thing, period?
Well, the poem She Let Go was actually a good descriptive of sort of the story of my own development of passion. And I can't say that I actually ever turned into being an artist. It just became me. And what I mean by that is I think that I always was pursuing some line, some avenue of just my own feelings, and in that I picked up guitar at a very young age, and it was just what I did. it wasn't anything I said, oh, I'm going to be an artist or anything. And in fact, one of the interesting things about music, I think one of the healing modalities of it, is that a lot of times people escape into a music, a creative mode, whether it's art or music. In my case, it was music. And the escape for me came in college when I was cripplingly shy and was having a real challenge with transitions in my life, and I was searching for something that I couldn't quite put my finger on, and I would sit around and escape into playing my guitar and singing in nature, out in the woods. And
with no human audience.
No human audience. No, just the birds. I just loved being out by myself and with the guitar. And then I discovered that people started to sort of eavesdrop on it, and I actually I only became a professional because somebody heard me, a nightclub owner heard me and said, hey, why don't you come and play in my nightclub? And then before you knew it, I was playing with, you know, just that was, I got onto the jazz world because I was living in Delaware Water Gap in Pennsylvania, and the people that were the studio musicians there, Bob DeRoe and Phil Woods and John Coates Jr. and Al Cohen and all those people lived there and played the clubs. And so I was this naive 19-year-old going, saying, can I sit in with you guys?
Oh, 19.
And so I started singing just as an escape, mm-hmm. as like this escape from having to relate to people. And it then took me the next 25 years to journey through, and Jan met me we met each other at a very young age. It took me that long to journey through the uncovering of my soul, of my spirit, of my authenticity and my power to be able to just be even, you know, comfortable being myself in the universe with people.
And I mentioned to Matt earlier, I said, Matt, singing is the ensouling process. And he said, what do you mean by that? Can you speak to that, Claire?
Say it again. That
singing is the process by which humans become ensouled. They bring their true soul into their body and live through that soul purpose.
Well, I can address it from the point that I think I've seen it develop in myself, and in that that I think that music drew me in initially from a very deep, authentic place. But then the layering of performance that started to become happening as I was accepted and given a position, mm-hmm. in society and in, you know, human interaction, and giving accolades, and, you know, I got a lot of pats on the head for my talents that I then started developing. And the more I became a performer, the sort of less myself I became on some level, but it brought up all of those battles with the egoic mind, mm-hmm. that the poem addressed, you know, just struggling to be accepted, struggling to let go of judgment of myself and others, and struggling to find acceptance and realizing that there isn't anybody outside of myself to accept me except for me, and how to love myself and not give my power away. And so the ensoulingment, I think, is the unlayering that a creative path, or in particular sound, because it's actually, you're the instrument. Mm-hmm. You can't hide behind the guitar. I actually had a house fire when I was in my early 20s. After I'd been on the road for a couple of years, and I played bass guitar and had, you know, the whole PA systems and everything, and I lost it all in a house fire, and I just never picked up an instrument again. And so my body became the instrument, and with the actual physical vibration, having to have that be alive in you, mm-hmm. I think it just brings you, it brought me to a journey that was humbling, painful, revolutionary, transformative, and a really amazing journey, and continues to be an unlayering of sort of the guard, the false persona, the defenses that we put out between ourselves and other people as I journey in deeper and deeper into what is singing through me.
Are you able to, when you're working the different venues, jobs, and types of things, are you able to carry that authentic core with you, or do you feel the expectations and the paycheck actually kind of change your ability, or are you able to hold that space of your true creativity? How does that work? Because I see you as being employed in a variety of settings.
Yes, it calls me into being conscious. There are days when I definitely show up. I was a wedding singer for years and years and years. I loved it because wedding music was like the only accepted ritualistic music there is in America. Like everyone used to have music at their weddings with live bands. And it was really powerful. And I saw myself...
Predictable.
But I saw myself as doing ritual in that, yes, everybody wanted, you know, what a wonderful world. Everyone wanted at last. You know, there were the same songs played over and over, but there was a ritualistic nature to that. And so I saw myself as sort of this deliverer of this ritual that sometimes brought families that were, you know, warring.
Beautiful. You're being a priestess.
I was being a priestess.
Absolutely.
As a wedding singer. And,
yeah.
But
grounding
then,
that sacred moment through our, you know, commercialized but shared cultural experience music.
Right. But then when I got a divorce, I then was really bitter for a year or two while
no
I was
more
doing
wedding songs. That's how I feel about Taco Bell Canon.
Not want to be doing the weddings. And it really colored me, and I had to be very, very conscious not to bring my own sarcasm and pain mm-hmm. into somebody's sacred space.
Quitting, yeah, that's great.
Even though you knew that 50% of those marriages statistically were going to fail.
Yes, and I had to, that I think was a really great training for me to really keep my own garbage out of the context of sacred space, because like I work in a lot of sacred space. Well, I think any time music is played, I think it can be sacred space. I really believe when I was singing rock and roll with the Mix in the early days in my 20s, you know, it was sacred. People were going there to have a great time and to find themselves and to just play, and so we were doing sacred play.
So with sacred space, it's about intention.
Yeah.
So what is your process for those who are musicians out there, and maybe this is a new concept, maybe it's not, but you as a woman, we just did this concert in the city, the Divas of Love, that I pulled you in on. Oh, we had a ball, didn't we? And we set sacred space there. We actually set an altar. We made our affirmations of what we wanted to accomplish to bring the sacred divine feminine and healing transitions in. But when you are doing your different jobs, what is your own personal process for setting sacred space?
Well, a lot of the times I consider myself in service. I'm in service to something that's greater than me and flows through me. I consider myself a channel. I'm not a performer anymore. I'm a transformer. Mm-hmm. And I try to remember that and try to stay out of the way, because when I used to try to sing, my voice hurt me. And when I finally got that there was something inside of me that can be activated and unleashed that can then roll through and mix with the sounds you were talking about, the bird, for example, I'm experiencing, as I open myself more fully to the possibilities of that, everything is sacred sound. That the jackhammer, when you know, when you're walking down the street, and or that somebody's actually they're opening space. You know, if you can hear things mm-hmm. in a different way without your judgment on it, that everything becomes a sacred sound with the possibility of transformation. And for example, the birds. I was listening the other morning. I was meditating, and there was a blue jay out my window that was really annoying me, and I noticed myself being annoyed, which that's part of the trick, is noticing yourself in the reaction mode. So I was noticing myself being annoyed, and I went, well, what's really happening here? And when I really let go of my judgment and my annoyance, what literally I could feel was every time the jay squawked, it hit into my heart, this vibration, like felt like somebody was pressing a button of electricity inside my heart.
And what do you think that represented? Was it the frequency that might have been igniting an emotional channel? Because that particular sound, or was it the unexpected, the piercingness of it? Did you get in touch with?
I'm not somebody like when I was listening to you talk about the tuning forks and the. And I've met Randy Masters, for example, and I don't know the terminology. Mm-hmm. I'm more of an intuitive sensate, and so maybe I don't process through it. I just
feel
it in the moment, mm-hmm. and notice that I'm experiencing an extraordinary perceptive opportunity for transformation.
You know what that's called, Claire?
No.
Clairsentience. The sensing Claire.
All right. I should change my name to Voyant, Clairvoyant.
I like that. That kind of leads me to, I was thinking about your background from rock singing to spiritual and choir. And, I know that in terms of the commercial world, your typical record company exec cannot handle the fact that an artist can do more than one thing, can embrace more than one style of music, or have a creative voice that crosses over to different genres, like the Chieftains jamming with musicians from China kind of a thing.
That's scary.
Yeah. Can you talk about how your music can cover, you know, all of the geographies you've been across?
Well,
and what was the reaction of people, and was that okay with you? Because you've done all the different genres.
You know, I consider myself a jack of all trades and maybe a master of whatever's in the moment. Not that I master it, but that it maybe masters me. And so I just feel like my life has been a continual exploration. I've gone through different systems. I actually didn't mean to become a singer at all. I really have a degree. I was studying to be a veterinarian when I was discovered.
I'm learning some things tonight about you, Claire.
Yeah.
One, that you were shy. You should have seen Matt and I raise our eyebrows
because you are
the woman most likely to be voted shy by us.
Yeah, I was crippled with people. I was just really insecure and really didn't, you know, I spent my childhood in trees playing in the woods by myself and avoiding people. So I was studying to be a veterinarian because I related to animals. And I got into the music industry, business, whatever, and it was just fun. And I ended up being able to make a little money to put myself through college, and somehow I auditioned for a band before I got my degree in biology, and I needed to get out of leave school because I got offered this road gig. And so I went to my counselors, and they said, well, you have almost enough. I had done summer stock theater. I ended up getting a degree in theater. Long story short, I won't go into that one. So I really was pursuing theater. That was really my love and my passion, musical theater. And I couldn't dance, so I would get really close. I would get, you know, I can't tell you how many times I almost got into Beach Blanket Babylon, except then they would throw the tap dancing on, and somebody could always do a triple time step, and I could only do a double.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know,
those defining moments, aren't they?
Right.
Yeah,
But I always supported myself doing music, because music you could make money doing way easier than theater. You could always just go do, you know, studio work or go do a rock and roll gig or whatever. So I basically just, music kind of was a, I think maybe they call it a blue-collar worker, like a blue-collar musician.
Mm-hmm.
I learned how to do a little bit of everything in music so that I could make money in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I also learned how to do management and booking and things like that. I used to book bands and whatnot for events and things. And so I really just learned very quickly, in order to sort of make a living doing music, I just had to learn how to do a lot of different things. So the closest I came to a recording kind of a contract was with the mix. We really did. We were on our way to a recording contract and had the benefactor give us a bunch of money just to sit around and rehearse. And we had an album almost done, and it was a great band, and then drugs and alcohol sort of busted it up.
I'm glad you mentioned recording, Claire, because we do want to get a chance to hear your song tonight. Is this a good time to introduce it?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, tell us, which song did you choose to share tonight?
I hope this is so embarrassing. This is good. Well, I picked a song off of my CD. The CD is called Ritually Blessed and Highly Favored. I wrote the songs with my friend Ron Atchison and I. My phone is beeping, and it's going on low battery, so I'm going to put you guys on speakerphone as when we go to play the song.
Okay,
and
great.
The song I picked is called Transformation, which
Perfect.
Is really about the things that are invisible that become real when you bring them in through your passion and through your intention.
Excellent.
So if you play that, I'll put you guys on speakerphone.
Great. Good.
Seth, right. Are you there?
Yeah, hold on.
Just because something's invisible, that doesn't mean it's not real. It doesn't mean it's not real. Starts with a hint of a vision, growing inside of your heart. Fanning the fire of passion, your desire will bring it to light. Desire will bring it to light.
Oh, that was fabulous. I've heard a lot of her songs, but that was a special one.
And by the magic of modern technology, we've temporarily lost Claire.
Well, I have a little announcement. Claire and I are doing a little collaboration as Claire is moving more into sound transmissions and working with the bowls and crystal bowls. She and I are offering a sound empowerment evening here in Santa Rosa, Friday evening, November 2nd. And the way that you could contact me would be through my email to come to that. My email is jcerc1@aol.com. Another way to contact me or sign up for a sound healing newsletter is through my website, which is, very simply, musicforjoyandhealing.com. Just the way it sounds, musicforjoyandhealing.com. And how do people contact you, Matt?
Well, if you remember the movie Kramer versus Kramer, or remember the Kramer on Seinfeld, because it's the only way to spell Kramer, K-R-A-M-E-R. And my first name is Matt, M-A-T-T. So pretty simply, www.mattkramer.com. And that's a gateway to a number of websites, including emotional healing with voice mapping. And as long as we're announcing, and we don't know if Claire's going to come back or not, I think...
Hi, Claire. Well, we'll go ahead and finish our announcements and then bring Claire back in to say goodnight.
For those of you who live close enough to drive to Sonoma County, on October the 28th at 3 o'clock, I'll have one of my Songs of Sonoma events here in our store. And for those of you listening to the first time tonight, Jan and I are sitting in a little store called Ordinary Miracles. That's about a block from the old Inn of the Beginning that we've been talking about earlier, 8280 Old Redwood Highway in downtown Cotati, California. And every so often, I get together some local songwriters and what I call a traveling guest performer. So on the 28th, we have a very powerful singer, songwriter, guitar player named Lisa Nemzo. And actually, if you email me, matt@mattkramer.com, I'll send you out the announcement and the story about how I met Lisa back in the mid-70s. I remember one of the things I wrote was, I was about to finish auditioning whoever was showing up to be auditioned, and this sort of young tomboyish woman kind of runs in breathlessly, demanding to do a song for me, looking like she was about to pitch an Olympic softball game. I found out later she holds track and field records in New Hampshire, someplace like that. And she used to play jazz big band.
Hello.
I heard a beep. Is somebody there?
That's me.
Hi, Claire.
Hi. We're having, interesting little cellular interruptions here.
Well, this is Mercury retrograde, so I'm not surprised at all.
You know, that Mercury retrograde gets around a lot.
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Go ahead and speak up a little bit louder, and we can hear you.
Okay. Okay. I'll try just shouting.
Now, how can people... get a hold of any of your recordings? Do you have a place you sell them from?
You know, I recorded that CD without any thought of selling it, but the easiest way to they can email me, or I don't have a website or any of that kind of sophisticated stuff. I sell them just in person.
Okay, well, if you want to leave some here at the store, we can always sell them here for you.
Okay, that would be a good thing to do.
Negotiations on the air, folks.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's next, Claire? What are you sensing? I just know that you have more things coming, more exciting things. So what's your next project? What are you looking at? What excites you? What gets your blood boiling?
Well, besides the projects I've already got my fingers in, I do have the 60 Voice Choir at the Center for Spiritual Living that always just really, it just really fills me up. But my work, actually, that you've introduced me to, a lot of really interesting modalities with sound healing, and I hate that word healing because it makes the assumption that something's broken, but sound empowerment with Tibetan bowls and toning and whatnot. I just sort of feel myself being pulled in a more improvisational authentic mode of creativity and empowering people to do that. That's the work I do when I teach voice, and it's the work I'm being drawn into.
What do you, how do you feel different when you're listening to those? I know how I feel and how I feel when we've had the opportunity to sing together, but what is different in the state of your body when we're using those natural acoustic instruments and just sounding? Why are you drawn to that? Is it a feeling? What is it?
It's a presence and a vibration. It's an ease in accessibility. It's not something that anybody really needs to study to do. Being a performer and a musician, you study for years and years and years, and now with the onset of MTV and whatnot, unless you're perfect, people don't sing. When I was growing up, we had Sing Along with Mitch. Everyone sang. No one sings anymore unless you're a performer. And so I would like to bring back a modality where people can actually vibrate their own bodies and get a sense of their own natural sound inside of them and let that out. I think it's I think it's powerful.
Well, what I've seen is that you're experiencing that. It actually sets a field, and I do believe it's healing. It's a facilitation of healing. As you set the sacred space and set the intention, other people can feel into that, because how it works is there's an entrainment of the dominant energy field. So if you're holding that space, and as you said, it's like being in the moment. It's so much of composed music is frozen, and that time has already passed. To create it, co-create it with women in the moment, I believe is the most powerful modality.
Well, not only that, but I really believe in when you're singing another person's music, you're drawing in their vibration. You're drawing in, you're recreating Mozart. There's an energy level that you're actually activating and downloading from, you know, wherever it is in the realm of reality. And so when you're approaching live music, when you're approaching something that's coming right there in the moment from the people in the room, it becomes something very powerful for everyone besides just sort of copying and activating somebody else's energy.
Well, Claire, we're coming to the close here, but I think you really put your finger on it there. Why sound is so powerful, and why particularly through our voice, our sounding mechanism, and you and I share the passion and the path to help other women find that juiciness, that aliveness, by discovering how to release their voice. I already told our listeners tonight that they can come and sing with us on November 2nd, and we will be doing more. We'll be doing larger sound journeys, sound venues, and ever-increasing exciting deliveries of in-the-moment sound. So, Claire, thank you so much for coming tonight, and I'll let Matt say goodbye to you before we introduce our coming guests for the next week.
Thanks.
I also wanted to, something you may think about in terms of nobody sings anymore. When I was in northern India, in the foothills of the Himalayas, there are lots of villages there that have no electricity, no radios, no TVs. Everybody sings. Sit around after dinner, 10-year-old kids with amazing pipes, just because that's what they've been doing. And we can do that here. And that's one of the things that the showcases are, the little song circles that I have on Sundays. That's local songwriters, and in some cases, traveling performers that maybe big radio never heard of them, you know, major labels never heard of them, but they make a living with their music. And it's very inclusive with the intimate audiences that come here. So there are pockets where you're all invited to sing.
Yes. And thank you, Claire.
Well, thank you.
Fabulous.
Enjoyed it. And get to one of those song circles at Matt's. It's really exciting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, tomorrow, Matt, part of our job here is being a bridge, bringing sound healing out into the world. And I'm going to be the featured speaker for the Nursing Career Fair. So I'll be speaking
about
backgrounds in nursing, and I'll be sharing some of the energy healing insights I have with these traditional nurses. One more announcement. We're doing a workshop on the Sacred Divine Feminine, Mary Magdalene Energies, December 1st and 2nd. Go ahead and go to my website, and you can get contact information, musicforjoyandhealing.com. And would you like to announce our upcoming guests?
Well, you can tell us next week. We have Susan Ingalls. What can you tell us about Susan?
Brain state technology, how to work with your brain waves to dissolve fear, pretty much clean out the junk that you don't want in there to help you have a more less emotionally driven life.
And I'll learn about it on Friday when I go have a session with her.
Mm-hmm.
And on Halloween, we have Leina.
Leima, snake Leima. Priestess.
Snake priestess.
Uh-huh, fabulous dancer.
Is she going to bring her snake?
Well, yeah, we can ask her. The ghost right around her neck. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sound Healing and Priestesses is the title of that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, folks, thank you so much for listening, and
we'll be here next week. We hope each day has miracles as an ordinary occurrence for each one of you.
And a thank you to Seth and Donald of BBSRadio.com.
And good night, Matt.
Good night, Jan. Roll 'em, Seth.
Hi, this is Christoph Goes on BBS Radio, where you can check tracks from my new album, Turning Inside, because if it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
Well, the road to hell, it grows a mile a day, so smooth, and downhill all of the way, but the path to the Lord is filled with thorns and stones, so I can feel that easy road in my bones. And the Lord told Moses, better put down the roses, boy, and pick up those heavy stones. Well, you can carry that load or you can walk the easy road, but either way you'll earn your bones. You know you're gonna turn to bones. Well, the road to hell, it grows a mile a day, so smooth.